Well, I guess I moved backwards when I was praying. I was in the spotlight. So how many of you knew that I was coming today? Yeah, the Blazings did. Yeah, great. Yeah, I didn't know either until Friday. But I'm grateful. Anytime that I get to come out here, I just really enjoy being able to be with you. You make me feel like I'm a part of the family. And I'm very grateful for that. So it's the season for making resolutions. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? Two of you. Okay. Well, interestingly enough, Statistic Brain Research Institute conducted a survey on January 1st of this year, 2017. And it was determined that about 41% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Okay, so out of all of us, that number's a little smaller. But it's not a huge amount of people who actually do it. Can you guess what people make resolutions about? Losing weight, yeah. That's a good one. Quit smoking, yeah. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So of the people that were surveyed, 44% of them made resolutions about some type of self-improvement. Maybe it was education, maybe it was job-related, but some kind of self-improvement thing. 42% made a resolution about money, which is kind of interesting. 32% about weight loss, and 23% make resolutions about some sort of relationship, something that's going on there. Interestingly enough, it was cited that women make more resolutions than men. And our brief little survey here would prove that. But not that much. 52% of women to 48% of men. And while women seem to make them more than men, it's the men who actually do something about it more than the women do when it's all said and done, according to this survey. Don't shoot the messenger. All right? Now, how long do you think a resolution lasts? 2 weeks? Okay. This survey said 73% of those people who made a resolution make it to the first week. So we lose 25% just in the first 7 days. Out of 2 weeks, the number drops to 68%. After a month, it's 58%. After 6 months, it's 45%. When it's all said and done for the year, only 9% of people were successful in achieving their resolution. Wow. So why do we do it? You ever thought about that? If most people don't follow through on them, why invest the time? I read an article in the Wichita Eagle that was entitled, "Your New Year's Resolution Will Likely Fail. Here's Why You Should Make One Anyway." Interesting title, huh? It said, the researchers say, despite the tough success rates, making a resolution is one of the best ways to actually make a change, particularly if realistic goals are set in the first place. Resolutions involve us moving our goals from mere contemplation into concrete action. So psychologists would tell us that making a resolution actually moves people to do something, to some sort of action. It might be short-lived, but it actually moves folks. So if you want to see change, it's going to take more than just positive thinking. Writing down your goals is a way to help solidify what you want to accomplish and actually sets the ball in motion so that you can make a change in your life. So, I haven't made resolutions in years. But I have done a lot of thinking, and especially over the last 30 days, doing some self-inventory of my own life. Okay, God, where am I at? And what do you want to accomplish? And so I've been looking at my marriage, my family life, my vocation. I'm looking at where I serve in my church. Looking at how I might better myself and my own health and growth. And the more I've thought about all of this, I keep returning to one thing, and that is my relationship with God. I believe that how I respond to God sets the tone for everything in my life. And so this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about responding to God. When Pastor Don texted me Friday late afternoon, I was doing what all Florida boys just long to do, and that was shovel snow. We outlawed that funny looking white stuff where I grew up. But there was, you know, I could have thought of 100 different things that I would have rather been doing than shoveling snow. But it gave me a great opportunity to spend some time thinking and praying about, God, what do you want me to share with your people in Brimfield? And the more I prayed about it, the more I thought about it, the more that phrase kept coming back to me, that how I respond to God sets the tone for everything in my life. How I respond to God sets the tone for everything in my life. And I said, okay, God, well, help me. What does that look like? And, of course, in my room at home, I have a stack of sermons that I've preached. And I'm thinking, okay, one of those has got to be related, right? No. God kept drawing me to Isaiah 26 and verse 8. Isaiah 26 verse 8. And I believe God wants to encourage each and every one of us this morning from this text. As we begin a new year. It's not about making resolutions, but rather it's about responding in a biblical way to God, to what He's saying to us, what He's teaching us, what He's trying to develop within us. Because responding the right way to God will position you for God's best in your life. And I think that's what all of us want. We want God's best, don't we? I do. So I need to respond the right way to God's leading. So what does that response look like? If you haven't found it yet, Isaiah 26 and verse 8 is where we're going to be. Chapter 26 in Isaiah's book is actually a prophetic song. It's a song that will one day be sung by the redeemed during the millennial reign of Christ. And Isaiah was picturing himself standing in the redeemed land with the remnant, listening to the people express their thanks and confidence to God. Right in the middle of this song comes this response to God. Verse 8 says, "Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. Friends, this is the response that God is wanting from us as we begin this new year. We don't have to wait till the millennium to sing this song, to respond in this way. God desires that we respond to Him right now, today, 2018. So, let's pull the response apart a little bit. Let's look at its components. The first component of the response begins with humility. Humility. The prophet simply says two words. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In those two words, he humbles himself, acknowledging that he's not the one in control. There's one who is far mightier than he, and he submits himself to the Lord. Yes, Lord. And interestingly enough, there's no rebuttal, there's no debate, there's no bartering going on. It's simply, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When I was 11 years old, my dad took a pastorate in Ellenton, Florida. And I was so excited to be moving to the land of Mickey Mouse. 1974, Walt Disney World opened, and this was 1975. I just could not wait, you know. We're going to get to go to Disney World. And I loved the beach and the white sands. And it was going to be incredible. I couldn't wait to get there. And so we embarked on what seemed like an eternity. We were going from Northwest Indiana to the Tampa Bay area in Florida. And we got the biggest U-Haul you could find and crammed that thing full and took off. And it seemed like it took us a month to get to Florida. But we finally made it. It was the promised land. And we were excited. My brother and two sisters and I just couldn't wait. This was going to be a new chapter, and man, it was going to be fun and exciting. And so the very first week that we were at New Hope, of course, they brought all of us up front, and they introduced us after the service to all of the people of this church. And we were excited to meet new folks. So people lined up, and they were coming by and greeting us. And one dear Southern lady named Lorene Davis stopped right in front of me, and she asked me a question. Without thinking at all about my response, I just responded the way that I always respond when somebody asks me a question. I just said, yeah. And she was floored. Lorene stopped. She grabbed me right here by the shoulders. She picked me up above her head like this. I was 11. She said to me, "You're in the South now, boy. Down here, it's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. Have I made myself clear?" And you know what I said? "Yes, ma'am." That was my introduction to Florida. Wow. I learned a very, very valuable lesson that day. One that's stuck with me for over 40 years now. How I respond is really important. And back in the Midwest, you could say yes or yeah or uh-huh, and it was no big deal. Down south, when you were talking to someone who was older than you, there was no room for that. It was, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And to this day, without even thinking, Even though I haven't lived in Florida for 30 years now, if somebody asks me a question, even if they're younger than me, I will respond, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And it was the hardest thing in the world coming back to the Midwest because that's all I knew. Oh, you don't have to say that. It's okay. Well, it's ingrained in me now. And so that's how I respond. That little illustration is somewhat humorous. I remember it like it was yesterday. But it is an illustration of the way that the Lord longs for us to respond to Him. When He speaks to us, He wants our response to be, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Without hesitation, without reservation, without trying to figure out how it's not going to work or what's going to have to be changed to make it happen or whatever it is. Simply saying, yes, yes, Lord. Now, thankfully, He's not going to reach down from heaven and pull you up into the sky and get your attention to let you know how to respond. But I believe that He desires that we respond to Him in humility as we submit ourselves to Him by simply saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So that's where it begins, in humility. But it doesn't stop there. Humility then affects our habits. The prophet put it like this, walking in the way of your laws. Walking in the way of your laws. The remnant had learned that obedience to God's laws were essential in responding appropriate to Him. The only way to please God was to put into practice His decrees. You know, that principle hasn't changed. Be it a couple thousand years later, it's still the same today. If you and I are going to respond the way that God would have us respond in this new year, we must commit ourselves to walking in the ways of His laws. You and I must be determined to be people of this book, right? We must pledge ourselves to put into practice His word each and every day. And as we do, God's word will affect our habits. How we live our lives will be different because we spent time in God's word. I love basketball. We were talking about basketball this morning a little bit earlier. I've played since I was, since I can remember, and I've coached, and now I have the privilege of leading the 7th and 8th grade league at the Christian Center. I referee junior high and high school basketball, and so I'm around it a lot, and it doesn't take me very long to realize and determine which team has the fundamentals, the good habits in basketball. On Thursday, I was down in Pekin at the Pekin Holiday Tournament. And I went specifically to watch Richwoods play Morton. My boys went to Richwoods and played ball there. And so I kind of had a little vested interest. Richwoods was the number 2 seed in the tournament. And on paper, this shouldn't even been a contest. But the game's not played on paper, right? And I watched as Morton out-hustled Richwoods. They executed the plays precisely. They pressed with intensity and tenacity. And they ran Richwoods right out of the gym. It was very clear that they had spent time in the playbook with their coach. They knew what they were supposed to do, and they did it. And it didn't matter what Richwoods did to try to upset their game plan, they executed it above what the opposition was. And they won. It was almost 30-point win when it was over. That's the same way that God wants us to be in our lives. He would have us develop godly characters, habits, by spending time in His Word so that it affects everything about us. When God looks at us, it should be clear that we are walking in the way of His laws. Our habits ought to point to Him. And that's part of our response. So it begins with humility. It affects our habits. And the third H, I have to apologize for. Because I got number four, and so then I had to have number three, and I couldn't find an H for number three. And so I just wrote hanging around. The prophet says, we wait for you. We wait for you. In other words, we're not in a hurry. We're not going to run ahead of you. We're not going to lollygag behind you. We're going to be patient. We want to wait for you to give us clear direction in our lives. And it's not the kind of waiting that sometimes we have to do when we're waiting for mom and dad. You know, oh, come on. Can you hurry up? You know, you guys never do that, right? It's the kind of waiting that I'm waiting with anticipation. Like, I can't wait to spend time with them. I'm eager to do that. And because we've submitted to God's plan in humility, and we've dedicated our lives to living according to His Word, then it's only right that we would yield to our own desires and be patient, allowing God to show us His directives in our lives. God, I don't know what it is that you want, but I'm going to wait here, and I can't wait to find out what it is. As a student at Moody Bible Institute, I loved going home for break. Because I would board a plane in sub-freezing Chicago. And in 3 short hours, I was in balmy Tampa, ready to get my tan on. It was great. It was amazing. And I couldn't wait to get home. When I got there, I hit the ground running. I had people to see, places to go, and just a ton of stuff I wanted to get accomplished. And my parents, they were great. They gave me a car to use, and they didn't give me any restrictions except for one. And that was, you have to work while you're home. Which wasn't a big deal. I had grown up working at McDonald's, so I got my job back. And every free moment that I wasn't flipping hamburgers, I was running around, playing golf, getting to the beach, visiting my friends, just living it up. And I didn't come home very much. I mean, I slept there, but that was about it. And I look back on that time, and I remember my parents wanting to talk to me and spend some time with me, but boy, I was too busy. I wasn't patient. I didn't want to sit there and just talk to my folks. And now, Dad's in heaven. I'd give just about anything to spend some time sitting and talking to him. You know, if I could change it, I would. Because I know they're filled with wisdom. And they love me, and they want what's best for me. And they'd be more than willing to give that direction in my life if I would have just been patient enough to wait. Sadly enough, I took that characteristic in my personal life and I brought it to my relationship with God. And yeah, God, I want you to show me and direct me and lead me, but you know, God, I got a lot to do. And I don't have a lot of time, and I got people to see and places to go and things to get accomplished. And unfortunately, I haven't always been as patient. I haven't always come to God saying, okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to wait for you. I can't wait to see what you have to say to me. So would you just speak into my life? But that's the response he's looking for. That's what he wants from his kids. Yes, Lord. I'm living by your word, and I'm not going to run ahead of you. I will wait and hang out with you. Because that's the appropriate response. And then finally, even though we've humbled ourselves, we've developed the right habits from God's word, and we spend time hanging out with him, our response isn't complete until we engage our hearts. Until we engage our heart. Isaiah concludes the response by saying this, "Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts." Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. The Song of the Remnant concludes with a declaration, a strong declaration, that it's all about you, God. It's not about us. It's God's name. It's his reputation. That's what that word renown means. His reputation that are most important. Not our own. The desire of their hearts is that God's name and his reputation be the only thing that receives honor and glory and focus. Now, that attitude smacks in the face of our society today, doesn't it? We are a self-indulgent, self-promoting, self-glorifying group of folks. We want what's best for ourselves, above all else. But yet, what God is looking for today is a people who will respond by making much of him, as John Piper often says. When the desire of our hearts is for ourselves, we will not respond the way God would have us respond. But when the desire of our hearts is for him to receive the praise and the adoration in everything that we do, our response is exactly where God wants it to be. As I thought about that, a wonderful example of a couple who lives this out each and every day in their lives came to my mind immediately. And you know this couple very well, Pastor Don and Lynette. They serve tirelessly, year after year, giving everything they have to point people to Jesus. When I moved to Peoria in 2001, I met Don within the first couple weeks of being here and have become a good friend. And every time I'm with Don, he wants to make much of Jesus. Every time. They aren't interested in receiving accolades or attention. That's just not who they are. They live their lives in such a way so that God's name and His reputation is the focus. Their heart's cry is to bring God praise, and it shows in everything that they're about. And friends, that's the kind of response that God is looking for in us. That our heart would be to bring Him honor and glory in all that we say and do. To make much of Him. Yes, Lord. Walking in the way of Your laws, we wait for You. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. At midnight tonight, a new year will roll in. The question that I want to leave with you is not, what are your resolutions going to be? But rather, how will you respond to the Lord in this new year? Will your response be one of humility? Habits that are rooted in God's Word? Hanging out with Him and a heart that's all about bringing Him honor and praise? I hope you remember that phrase. Responding the right way to God will position you for God's best in your life. It really will. Would you bow your head and your heart with me for just a moment? I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or move or raise your hand or do anything like that. But I just sense that as we begin this new year, that this is the perfect moment for us just to spend some time, me and God, you and God. As we've been looking at this response from Isaiah, Has the Lord put His finger on anything in your life? Is He showing you an area where He'd like to help you grow in? How will you respond? Just tell the Lord what's on your heart right now. Lord, as we begin this new year, 2018, I pray that, God, our response to You will be, yes, Lord. Walking in the ways of Your laws, we wait for You. Your name and renown are the desires of our hearts. God, give us courage to live that out this new year. And God, as we do, we know that You're going to show up and surprise us in incredible ways, as You become more real in our lives, as You take us another step closer to You. And that's what we want. May this year be a year where we make much of You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.